We always recommend Shopify. It took us from an idea to a real business. We got set up, I think, in less than a day. With very little effort, we could just focus on the supply chains and the product development. Shopify gives us the ability to customize without the complexity. We can change something without introducing fragility or having to pay a developer. We're Thirsty Turtle, and we leveled up our business with Shopify.
Start your free trial at shopify.com/au.
Hey friends, it's Ian from TV's Recovering Gleek : Ugly podcast. I just wanted to hop on here before the episode proper to let you know that I am on this week's episode of Gleek of the Week pod, hosted by last week's guest, Andrew McGuire. I had a great time over there, so go check that episode out. Now, on to the show.
Welcome to Recovering Gleek, a podcast for all of your complicated feelings about the TV show Glee.
Remember when I used to start every minisode with a song? So the reason
about
that doesn't
Mondays.
Yeah, the reason that doesn't happen anymore is that like the
you
mini
exhausted the Monday song.
Well, also this now releases on Wednesdays. It's just like they morphed into another thing.
True.
And now we don't even call them minisodes anymore. And
yeah,
I was thinking about that the other day. That was such a crazy thing that I put on myself that absolutely no one was enforcing or cared about. And yet I was like, I'll let the entire community down if
cared.
I don't do this.
I do think people cared. I think I do think people cared, but I don't think people cared if you didn't do it.
Exactly.
Like, their emotional stock wasn't in it.
Like people. There were people that like thought it was fun, but if 1 week I had been like, you guys, I'm so sorry. I just like am swamped this week. I couldn't find a song. No one was going to be like, are you kidding me?
And you also know who didn't care?
Who?
Girl, me.
I know every week you'd start talking and I'd be like, wait, there's this
bit. I never
bit.
Remembered that it even was a thing. I liked it. I thought it was cute, but I never remembered.
Here,
wait, I have to sing a song.
Well, here's this.
But also, my favorite thing is you would spend upwards of 10 minutes sometimes practicing these songs, rewriting these songs.
Well, then also
before we would get started, plus you were doing it before we even got on like a call to do these.
Because also, shout out to the real ones, we would get people like sending in suggestions, which was so helpful to me. But then it'd be a song I had never heard of in my life. And so I would have to listen to it over
like
and over.
Someone's college friend's band.
And like make sure that I actually knew the melody. And then I would still like mess up the melody. And, you know, it was undertaking.
There's only so many times you can say, just another mini soul Monday.
Monday. Speaking of, is that the Bengals or is that the Go-Go's? That's the Bengals. I prefer the Bengals. Sheila.
I prefer the Bengals.
I was just thinking, I got the Go-Go's on the mind because tune in next week. We're talking about the Nationals episodes, which feature Vacation All I Ever Wanted by the Go-Go's.
Yeah.
And I'm really having a moment about, like, what is that song about? And so tune in next week. We'll discuss.
Okay, Slay. In real time, we haven't had that discussion.
We haven't had that discussion yet. We're actually in real time going to have that discussion as soon as we finish this discussion. This. We're recording
back-to-back.
We're
doing
back
a double. Which we haven't done, like, a back-to-back episode recording in quite some time. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited to see how delirious we get by the end of
that
this.
That thing, it's like a back-to-back is so exciting because either by the end we will be so over it that it will be the worst thing to listen to.
Or we'll be off our rockers.
And it will
crazy.
Be delightful. So
I know.
Find out, everyone. We'll see how it goes.
It's like kind of, it's a weird thing in podcasting that I think we've achieved a couple of times where you like pass. It doesn't like, it's not like a specific time mark, but sometimes it's like 2 hours. Sometimes it's like an hour, 20, where it's like, I don't know. It passes a mark where
it's
you
like
just kind
wind.
Of lose track of your a second wind.
Yeah.
You also like lose track of your mind, but become like, I don't know. It's euphoria. It's euphoria.
It is euphoria.
It's drugs.
It's nirvana.
It's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
It's nirvana. Exactly.
Well, I do.
And I love that point.
I do have a song for this week.
Okay,
I do have to clear my throat. I'm so sorry. My throat is phlegmy. S-
start spreading the news. Oh, yeah. I'm leaving 3 years ago today. I actually don't know the tune to the song. Be a part of it. New York, New York. Today, as of the day we're recording, not the day that this released, I moved to New York City 3 years ago.
Wow.
Wow, oh, New York.
Happy Annie.
So in love with you. What a great time. Yeah. Happy anniversary to us.
What a beautiful place.
Let's get married.
I'm so glad you guys are married.
I know, crazy. Crazy.
Oh, New York City.
Dumb.
Happy Annie. That's awesome.
Thank you. I don't know. I was like, I should do something to celebrate, but also.
You should.
My issue with milestone days is then I feel like there's so much pressure to do something special that then I'm like, oh, now it's stressful and it's not like enjoyable because I'm so stressed that I have to make this special. I was going to try and see Stereophonic today because it's closing and I never saw it. But then I looked at tickets and they were $300. So
that makes sense.
So Stereophonic, much love. I'm sure you were great. You're the most Tony winning play of all time. I'll catch you in another life. Bye.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. You could do anything.
I'm really mad at myself for that. Last night, this is so embarrassing. I kept being filled with just like profound sadness. Does this happen to you? And I'm sure it does. Where you get a really strong emotion and then you're trying to remember like, okay, so what was the, what was the inciting incident of this emotion? And you like,
why am I feeling full of emotion right now?
I was feeling like despair and gloom. And then I kept taking it back to the source and it was literally that I wasn't going to see Stereophonic.
Oh, I hear
you. And I kept being like, okay, Ian, take a breath. Like, you'll be fine. Hey.
Can you rush it at all?
No. Because, well, the issue is that it's closing on a matinee. So.
Oh, tough.
Oh, we'd be recording. Which, I mean, like, if I really wanted to try it, I would have been like, can we go out earlier, blah, blah, blah.
Of course.
But I made peace with it last night. I was like, it's simply not meant to be. It is what it is.
Okay.
Yeah. And also, it was like, the box office like opens at a weird time because it's Sunday. And then because it's closing, I would like get there 2.5 hours early. I did see Sunset Boulevard again because I did rush and I got there. Oh my gosh. An hour and 45 minutes early and sat outside in the winter cold in New York City for an hour and 45 minutes for those tickets. It was brutal. So Stereophonic would probably be worse because it's the last chance to see it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ugh. I don't know. It is what it is. I'm trying to learn to just accept that things leave and that's okay and I won't die and life goes on.
Let me know how that goes because I need to learn that too.
How are you?
I need to learn that too. I'm good. The feeling that I feel oftentimes where I'm like, I'm sitting somewhere and I'm like, oh, fuck, why am I feeling this way? Is shame and embarrassment where I'm like, at work typing on my little typey thing, whatever the fuck, keyboard, Jesus. And I'm like, God. And I just go, ugh, ugh. And then I'm like, what was even that about? Like, I cringe at myself and I'm like, what was that about? And then it's like, oh, sometimes I remember something I did, sometimes I like rethink an interaction. Sometimes it's just like nothing. It's literally nothing. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I remember that I'll never reach eternal salvation, you know, anything. But seriously, like, I'll just be sitting somewhere and I'm like letting this shame and embarrassment fester in my body. And I can't even name it half the time.
Yeah.
So crazy. But I'm good.
Hey, and hey, not to like do annoying therapy talk. I like hate the way. Sorry, now I'm feeling shame and embarrassment. Oh my gosh, I'll do the therapy exercise on myself. But I'm just big on, I think that as a child, I felt emotions too big and it was embarrassing. Oh, yeah. In fact, I don't think that I have full memories. I like would cry all the time and then get really embarrassed. And so I tried to numb my emotions so I wouldn't be embarrassed. And now I don't know how to turn them back on. It's something I talk about a lot. But anyways, my therapist talked to me about like, instead of like numbing an emotion or just like letting it fester forever, just like tell yourself, I'm feeling this way it feels like mm-hmm. this, and then really try and think, and I'm feeling this way because of this, and like acknowledge mm-hmm. ABC yeah, and then let it all
every
go.
Every part of it.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
So that was me last night. Idea. Like I had literally paused the episode of Glee I was watching. I was like, I'm feeling sad. My face feels heavy. I'm feeling this way because I didn't get tickets to see Stereophonic.
Yeah.
And then I could enjoy the rest of the episode of Glee.
That's good. That's good. My therapist does the thing where he, and this does help me sometimes, but I think something like that would help too, because sometimes I think I need to like analyze the smaller parts of it and mm-hmm. like lay shit out. Or he just, I just say like, I'm safe. I'm not in danger. Mm-hmm. If anyone is mad at me, they will tell me it doesn't matter. It's going to be okay. I'm safe. I'm not in danger. Like, it's going to be okay. If anyone's mad at me, they're going to tell me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's why I like identifying the root cause of it. Because yeah. then so many times, once I've identified the root cause, I'm like, okay, so literally that's not dangerous. It's like it,
yeah.
it,
oh yeah,
it's no longer this nebulous thing. It is like yes. literally, this is before I was in therapy, but I remember in high school, I maybe have brought this up before. I was like so distraught one night. I was like so sad and I couldn't shake it. And then I thought back on why I was sad and I was like, Jim and Pam got in a fight on an episode of The Office tonight. Ian,
girl,
that's pretend. And then I could just like, I could let go of the sadness because I realized I identified the reason and the reason was made up. It was a pretend scenario.
That happens to me. And I'm feeling shame and embarrassment an embarrassing amount of times. Especially like I'll be reading before I go to bed and I'll wake up and be like, what am I going to do? Crap. And I'm like, oh shit. Like I'm not in a trial. Like, I'm not an 18-year-old girl, like, fighting for my life. Like, I'm okay. You know what I mean? Like, I'll be reading, like, yes. Anyway.
You'll be reading, like, a what?
Oh, you know what I've been doing that makes me think of you, though?
What?
Oh, so I've been reading The Bell Jar, which is a tough read.
I have been talking a lot about The Bell Jar. I was telling a friend about The Bell Jar last week. Continue.
Oh, my God. But I have been... excuse me, I've been bringing it to work and it's cold as absolute hell outside, but I like to on my breaks like go outside and like take a little walk. But recently I've been sitting on a bench and reading The Bell Jar, and it makes me think of you when you read The Bell Jar in Central Park.
Literally, there is no better way to communicate to strangers that you are going through something than reading The Bell Jar in a public place. I want everyone in this park to know.
I want them to be
that
concerned.
I am white knuckling it right now. It is bleak.
You're like, I'm at war in my own brain.
Seriously.
I see my life laid out before me like a fucking fig tree, bitch.
Oh, the fig tree diva. Sylvia Plath. She was wild for that analogy. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Sorry, my book club is chatting it up in my headphones. Let me turn off my do not disturb. Turn on my do not disturb. I'm good. I'm good. I don't know. I've been feeling good. I'm excited about the new year. New year. Same me. New mm-hmm. lessons. Mm-hmm. I'm feeling good. Obviously, I'm reading The Bell Jar right now, so how good can I be?
I know, but that was oh kind God. Of... I was wondering if you were reading it for business or pleasure.
Are you reading The Bell Jar for business or pleasure? No, I'm reading The Bell Jar because I do feel like, and we've talked about it before, I don't know that I've ever been prepared ever to mm-hmm. read The Bell Jar.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not too bad right now. Like, she's still, like at the hotel with her friends, like...
Yeah.
You know, winning contests and, you know, I'm not far in. I'm about halfway, so I'm not far. Anyway, but I've never felt like mentally stable enough to read
yes.
it. So I am feeling mentally stable enough to read it
yeah.
right now.
It's certainly not a book you want to read in the darkest
no.
depths. You need to you need to have like 1 foot back in the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You do. And I mean, I saw it at the library and I was like, hey.
And hey.
Let's do it. Because I love the new year. I always feel good in the new year. I always feel like excited and new, and I love goals, and I love like I know it's not a reset, but I love like a chance to at least feel like a reset. Mm-hmm. So I'm feeling good. I love January.
Booyah, booyah. Heck yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, hi everyone. My name is Ian Allred. Happy January. I don't know what day this comes out. The 15th, I think. Is that right? I think that's right. Happy January 15th.
Maybe 14th?
I believe it is the 16th.
Okay.
I'm a Gleek.
Hey, everyone. I'm Lena Knatzer, and I can't do math or tell time or anything of the sort, and I'm a Gleek. Don't ask me what day it is. I'll never be able to tell you. I wake up, I go to work, I come home, I go to bed.
All right. Well, we do have some emails that we're going to read today.
Let's kick shit off, shall we? Thank you for everyone who sends us in emails. We love when you do that. We love to hear from you. Which one do you want to start with, homie?
Girl, I was about to ask you the same question.
Maybe let's start with Holloway's.
Great.
Shall we?
Yes. All right. Hello, Lena and Ian. I must warn you in advance that this email has nothing to do with the episodes you spoke about in this last episode, so my apologies. While I do consider myself a Gleek, I am even more interested in the world of reality television. So when these two worlds intersect, it makes me very happy, and I always love to hear you guys talk about Survivor. Thank God Rachel won, by the way. However, one of my biggest pet peeves with Survivor fans in particular is when they refuse to expand their horizons and watch any other reality TV because they think Survivor is the only one worth watching. Whoa, did you hear that? Sorry, let me clear my throat. I was getting emotional because I was being called out by Holloway. I completely understand avoiding Big Brother because of its length and addictive quality with the live feeds. But as a fan of lots of these shows, I would say 2024 was incredible for the genre, so much so that US Survivor was somewhere toward the bottom of my rankings this year in reality TV seasons. By the way, Australian Survivor was number one. You should totally watch it if you haven't. My question for y'all is, do you / have you guys watched reality TV other than Survivor, and did you or did you not enjoy it? If you did / didn't enjoy it, how come? Also, how do y'all feel about the new era of Survivor so far? I love the cast, but I'm so sick of Three Tribes, Earning the Merge, Challenge Twists, Beware Advantages like Jeff needs to change it up. I'm bored. Love you guys, and thank you for all the work you put into this podcast. Holloway, I am said Survivor fan. I have seen other reality television. It's a reality TV. I don't know. I go through phases where I get really into it, and then phases where it reminds me too much of sports, and I just, like, as a rule, don't like sports, and so I don't participate. Survivor is the one that's held my hands through the years that I've continued watching. It's the one reality TV show that I've stuck with this long. So, love you, Survivor. You're my girl. Mm-hmm. But I've seen other stuff that we can get to. What about you, Lena?
I love reality TV. As a rule, I live alone, so I'm not watching a ton of television by myself, but I love reality TV. God, and I mean, I've been trying to find Australian Survivor for so long.
Oh, girl, I can send it to you.
Send me a link. No, please send me.
I can.
Thank God. Because I swear, I see, like, obviously Drop Your Buffs is obsessed with Australian Survivor. They're, like, going to change their podcast to, like, be an Australian Survivor's podcast, which I don't think they're actually going to do that, but they do it sometimes. Anyway, whatever. So I want to watch really bad, and I've seen how good it is. And I saw like a clip of a competition and I was like, God, this looks amazing. So I definitely would love to watch that. Obviously, I love Survivor. I'm a big Bachelor watcher, been a Bachelor watcher on and off since I was a child. Obviously, Big Brother on and off since I was a kid. I also love reality dating television show. I mean, last year, me and my roommates watched a show called Couple to Thruple. Have you and I talked about Couple to Thruple?
I think you've mentioned Girl, it in passing.
It was the stupidest TV show I've ever seen in my life. It was chaos. chaos. I think it's on Peacock, if I'm not mistaken. Oh, heck yeah. But it was these couples coming onto a show and this group of singles who were like all looking to join a pair and become a throuple, couple to throuple. And it was seriously
put me in that show. I'm going to be the throuple.
Oh, it was crazy. And it was also like they all had cameras in their rooms and like a few of the couples were like,
I can fill in that blank.
Saw them have, yeah, it was crazy. And like more drama than I have ever seen on anything in my life. And it was so fun. I don't think it got renewed, which I'm not super surprised about it. I also know that I saw a group of people in the polyamorous community express disinterest in the show and they really didn't like it. So I understand that. But as a piece of reality, I think only one, to spoil it for you, one throuple is still like a throuple today.
Sure.
So out of like seven groups, sure. It was really crazy. I've wanted to get into Love Island for quite some time, but I feel similarly about Love Island that I do to Big Brother, where it's like 100 episodes per season. And it's hard for me to keep up with. And I don't all the time. I don't have a Netflix subscription at this current moment.
Yeah.
So a lot of Netflix stuff I can't keep up with actively. But I've seen bits of it and I would like to get into it more. And I mean, I don't love The Circle, but I watch The Circle. Mm-hmm. I love stuff like that. And then obviously The Traitors.
Yeah.
Obviously The Traitors. I would like to get into Real Housewives more. That's like also Australian Survivor and Real Housewives are the things that I'm like actively like trying to set up pools to jump into, especially Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. They just started and that's my hometown, homie.
Yeah.
I live there.
Yeah. You know them. You're friends with them.
I know. My friend like sees them at his work constantly, you know? So I would really like to watch that.
Real Housewives.
But yeah.
I want to have seen it so that I can just get the references and be a part of the culture.
Yeah.
But there's so much of it that I can't fathom actually watching it. But specifically the clip that has gone viral this last month of Kim Richards going, I'm going to have another baby. No, I don't want to. I want to travel. That made me be like, should I watch this?
I know. I think that's the thing is everything I've ever seen of this, I'm like, actually, those people are icons. I need to watch their shows.
Yeah. I don't know.
The thing that, obviously, I haven't watched it yet, but the thing that especially makes me want to watch Salt Lake City is I think they have crazy drama and it just started. They're only like on season four.
Yeah.
We can easily get into that. Cause there's no way that I could watch all of Atlanta or New York or Orange County because those have been going on since forever.
Yeah. My thing, the reason that reality TV is like hard for me is I don't watch a lot of TV consistently enough. I have phases of my life. Like when I'm in between jobs where I am like, my job is watching TV.
Yeah.
But then I have other times when I will go the whole week and not watch an episode of anything. And so it's hard. Yeah. Like reality TV, there's just so much of it that I can't. Mm-hmm. Survivor, it's easy. It's, you know, one a week and sort of prioritize that. I'm like, I'm going to watch this week's Survivor because I'm invested and I like want to know who wins. But it's hard for me to dip my toes in more than that because I just don't know if I'm going to have the time to do it.
No, I totally get that. I totally get that. And I also think when I was living with roommates who I like watched TV with on a really consistent basis, like there was a point like early last year where like my partner at the time like hadn't seen me in 3 weeks because it was coupled with Throuple, The Bachelor, and Traitors were all happening at the same time. So every single night I had something going on and my partner was like, I guess I'm just not seeing you. And I was like, I'm sorry. But like, I was on a really consistent basis, on a really consistent schedule with it. Also because I had people to watch it with. I think watching TV by myself is not something I'm like particularly good at.
Yeah, see, and I watched Survivor with friends and that's it. Like I watched The Traitors by myself. I do watch some reality TV. I've never watched Australian Survivor because there's so much of it. The episodes are all like an hour and a half long. And also there's like, I might be wrong about this, but I swear there are more episodes per season than the US version. And I just, you guys, I don't have the time for this. I don't have the time for it. I do watch The Traitors. I've watched exactly one season of The Bachelor and exactly one season of The Bachelorette. It was Hannah Brown and Pilot Pete seasons back to back. What's that, baby? I watched the first two seasons of Love is Blind, ate them up, but then season three came out and I was busy and I just never watched it. Watched season one of The Ultimatum, ate it up. Season two came out, I was busy, I never watched it.
Oh, yeah. I watched Queer Ultimatum. I haven't watched any of the other ones.
I remember that first Ultimatum was pretty crazy. And I'm obsessed with Nick and Vanessa Lachey. Just being like, what we want our careers to be is us just playing God to a bunch of like very desperate single people.
Yeah.
We are just really going to twist them around our fingers and play sick mind games with all of them. That's amazing. Good for them. Good for them.
Yeah.
And speaking of...
I also need to get into Love is Blind.
Speaking of a couple of throuple not getting a second season, another a beacon of reality television, crazy idea for a show, absolute chaos that got canceled after one season that I think of all the time is Bridalplasty. You watch Bridalplasty?
Not actively, but I mean, I was a TLC kid. Like my family, that was on the TV.
TLC.
I also love bridal TV shows.
And TLC knew how to make a sick and twisted reality show.
That was sick. Honestly, all their bridal shows I was like very into as a tween.
Bridalplasty was iconic television.
It was fucked up.
I literally can't believe this was a real show that got made. I'm trying to count.
Well, I mean, it was like in that like that era of like Biggest Loser plus like all like the four weddings and you know
four weddings like famously
four weddings famously,
what that was
exactly.
Called
all the four weddings oh, yeah well. But you know like it was in that era so like it was fucked, it was really fucked up.
It was 12 brides to be who were competing in challenges where they would win money to go towards their weddings. Cool, awesome. But also, they each came in with a checklist of the cosmetic surgery they wanted to get done. This is so crazy. And if they like won the challenge, they'd check something off their list and they'd go get operated on. And so
God, it must have taken so long.
If you won episode one, if you won the challenge, you had immunity in episode two because you were in the recovery room recovering from your cosmetic surgery. And then these women would just be, they all live in a house together and they would just be in this house, like bandaged up everywhere, screaming and fighting at each other. It was sick and twisted. It was disgusting. I ate it up. It also was crazy because they had like one woman who had breast cancer. Like previously she was in remission now, but like her big checklist item was, I literally have like one breast now and I would like to have two breasts and like even it out. And she's competing for that against, I don't know. I'm not going to like, I don't want to like take a stance on cosmetic surgery on this podcast, but I think we can all agree that like someone who had cancer and lost a part of their body and wants to get it restored, it's messed up that they're
fighting.
That also
feels like it's just like two different, very different things.
Exactly.
You know?
And there was, oh my gosh, the icon of reality television was Janessa of Bridalplasty. She was the biggest reality TV show villain ever. I was obsessed with her. She had a little crony. Her little like sycophant was this woman named Lisa Marie. I believe her name was Lisa Marie. This is all off the dome. Let me see if her name actually was that. Lisa Marie. I'm so smart. It's crazy. And Maybe she was just edited this way and she wasn't like this in real life. But Lisa Marie was edited as like she had no idea what was going on at any given moment. She was so lost in the sauce. And Lisa Marie's deal was she had acne in high school. Janessa, the icon, yes, with the big nose bandage, she got a nose job.
This is everything. This picture is the best thing I've ever seen.
No. So what's everything about Janessa is one, her with crony airhead Lisa Marie, and also Janessa got a nose job and had, in that picture you showed, she just has like the nose tape because she's almost healed. When she first gets it, she's got a full face bandage, just eyes and mouth. And she like goes up, I don't remember what the scenario is, but she goes up and sells Lisa Marie down the river because I think the brides voted on who goes home. That's what she looked like. Yes, exactly. She goes up. Lisa Marie has been her friend this entire game. She goes up and sells Lisa Marie down the river, makes everyone turn on her, makes everyone like want Lisa Marie out of the house. And Lisa Marie's all horrified, like, you're my best friend. How could you do this to me? And then it cuts to Janessa. Full face bandage, just eyes and mouth. And she does this. Like, just sticks her tongue out really fast like a snake. That has lived on in my mind. I am obsessed with it. But Lisa Marie had...
How do we stream this show?
I don't know. I can't find it anywhere. But she had acne as a teenager. And she would talk about it. Which, like... I get it. Like, if you have really, really, really bad acne as a teenager, people who had like cystic acne, like that is genuinely really tough. And maybe she did have cystic acne. It didn't sound like she did. And so you'd have this woman talking about like, I had cancer. Like, I didn't know if I was going to live. And now I just like feel like everyone looks at me weird because, you know, like I only have one breast. And Lisa Marie's like, yeah. So when I was a teen, I had a lot of zits. It's like, girl, read a room. And she'd like bring all the time. Oh, here's...
Weird.
Here is Janessa licking her lips. Once this stupid YouTube ad ends.
Them dressed up covered in bandages is kind of a slay.
Literally camp. Oh, it was very brief at the end. Did you see it? I maybe oversold how dramatic it was. Oh, no. Actually, I didn't oversell it. And they put in a little sound effect, too. Oh, my gosh. Best show ever created, Bridalplasty.
And it was an elimination show?
It was an elimination show.
Okay. That's tough. That's sad.
That was the first time I really noticed producer meddling in a show. In the penultimate episode, there's like the really likable trucker girl. I think it would do like they'd have a final two and then the girls would vote on who in the final two went home. And in the penultimate episode, there's a trucker girl and she like wins the challenge. And the final two is someone who's like likable enough. And then Janessa, and the trucker girl picks to save Janessa to bring to her to the finale. And in her talking head, it's like, well, I just want to like beat Janessa myself. And I think it'll be a more fulfilling victory if I'm the one who takes out Janessa. And little 15-year-old me was like, I smell the shit. The producers told you Janessa's good television. You are bringing her to the finale.
Yeah.
And she was, and they were right.
Who won?
The trucker girl.
The trucker girl.
I think her name was Brooke. No, Allison.
Brooke.
Not even close.
Okay. That's so
she
funny.
Was the one that in that clip I showed had the whole like neck head wrap on.
Yeah,
It's crazy.
I love it.
Wow, that show was insane.
I love that era. In college, me and a bunch of friends, we had watched, my parents watched Rock of Love and Flavor of Love. Mm-hmm. In college, we got very into Tiffany New York Pollard.
Yes,
so we watched all of, Flavor of Love with her. And then, you know, I Love New York and, you know, like just a bunch of stuff with her in it. And then we didn't watch the entire season of Big Brother that she's on, but, I still watch clips of her on Celebrity Big Brother all the time. Oh, yeah.
Speaking of crazy TLC, I'm trying to Yes. Okay. I was trying to make sure I actually know the name of the show. Speaking of crazy, like TLC-esque reality shows from the early 2000s, although this apparently was on Fox, did you know the show My Big Fat Obnoxious Fiancé?
No.
This is another literally reality television in the early 2000s with psychological torture. It was
it was insane.
So this woman is, she enters this reality show where the gag is you and this guy who has also entered the reality show, you need to pretend to get married. You need to go through, you're telling your parents, you're telling your family that you're getting married on television and that they're making a documentary about it. You guys need to go through the entire process of like planning your weddings, meeting each other's families, having your families meet each other. And you need to go through with the wedding, although the wedding is fake. Like, don't worry, the wedding's not real, but your family has to think it's real. And if you do it, you win all this money. What the woman doesn't know is the man is not another contestant. He's an actor.
He's an actor.
Who is supposed to be the most obnoxious, annoying, terrible person ever. And then his entire family are also actors who are just supposed to be, in the words of the show, the family from hell. And it was an upsetting watch. And it was honestly really tragic. I'm telling you, I don't like condone this. But 9-year-old me was sad. It was really tragic because like her sister and her parents are trying to have like interventions with her to be like, we love you so much and we just don't think this is the match for you. Like, we don't think you're going to be happy. And she's like having emotional breakdowns because she's having to lie to them and be like, no, I'm in love with him. Like having falling outs with her family because they see how toxic this man is and she has to pretend to be in love with him. And it was crazy. I remember they make it to the wedding. And I remember that was really emotionally charged. She's up there like sobbing, trying to explain to her family why she went through with this. Crazy. Reality television, really insane. Especially in the early days, it was the wild, wild west out there. They just did whatever they wanted.
I know. I was talking with some friends about wife swap, and my family was big into wife swap.
Remember, I will let you finish, but do you remember the balloon boy drama of like 2011? When that family was like, a weather balloon took off and our son was inside of it. Please help our son. He's up in a weather balloon. We're so scared. And they were all over the news. They got their son down. They were all over the news. Like, the nation mourns and celebrates with this family who is reunited with their son. Their son's like 6 years old. Their son on live television says to an interviewer, yeah, my dad said we do it for the show. And the interviewer's like, what? And his dad jumps in and he's like, no, he's really confused. He's confused because we were on Wife Swap. And that's what he's talking about. Come to find out, they were on Wife Swap. But come to find out, they staged the whole thing. The son was never in the balloon. They had the son hide in the attic. They called the reporters to say their son was in the balloon because they wanted to be on television.
Ew. See, and that's the thing is, like family sort of reality
it's
TV
really gross.
Like really bothers me to my core.
And I remember their episode of Wife Swap, and I had seen it before Balloon Boy ever happened. And I remember being like, this family's literally psychotic. These parents need their children taken away.
Oh, that's so awful.
What were you going to say about Wife Swap?
But like, you know, it's these families who are, you know, I think some of them are there for like the, you know, the social experiment of like seeing how different families are raised. Like, I think it's like some of them are there for that, but it's also like they pair up like the worst people. Like, it's always like, you know, terrible conservative racists with like a black woman. And it's like, they've bullied the shit out of this woman. And it's like, you know, or like, you know, these women coming into families where they're allowed to be punk rock and they're not allowed to listen to rock music anymore. And have you seen the video of that kid? He's like, I don't know, thinks he's like gonna punch her or something. Or what's the one? Is this from Wife Swap where the kid is like, I think so. I'm not sure. Yes. He like has a mohawk.
Yeah. I think I'm conflating two different ones. Because there is a chicken nuggets one from Wife Swap where the kid fully packs his bag and it's like, I'm leaving because she won't let me eat chicken nuggets.
Oh, which honestly, is it that
real?
I know, literally. But there's also one, and I think this is Wife Swap, I'm not entirely sure, but it's like, this kid is like, that cat is my best friend. Like, this woman wants to take my cat away. Like, if she wants to get rid of the cat, she has to get rid of me.
I go. Yes. The thing is, I've literally had this conversation has me feeling so morally conflicted. Because I do think these shows were evil.
No, they were.
And yet.
I think at their core, they're bad.
And then at their core, I think they were really like ruining people's lives.
Yeah. No, totally.
But.
Because especially that kid should not have to be dealing with the emotional shit of something that's not going to last longer than a week.
Mm-hmm.
Oy. My family was also big into Super Nanny because I think my mom wanted us to watch it so she could be like, hey, look how bad these kids behave. Don't do that or I'm going to call that lady and she's going to whip you into shape.
She wanted her to Super Nanny you through the television.
Exactly. We were not bad kids. But anyway. Oh. Anyway, reality TV.
Reality TV. So I've watched enough of it through the years, but Survivor's the only one that I've stuck with. I'm just going to speak this into existence so I have a clean editing. Let's take a quick break and then I will continue this reality conversation.
My advice for entrepreneurs is definitely to level up with Shopify. The platform is just never a worry. Like, I have so many worries, but the platform is never one. I feel like Shopify really thinks about how they can optimize. It just always feels very ahead of the curve. Everything is just super easy to connect and link. They really know what we need. Time and money that is saved, I can spend on other things and on growth.
Start your free trial at shopify.com.
We're back. I just was like, I need to put a commercial in somewhere. Speaking of, have you started The Traitors. Have you started Drag Race?
Yes. No, I've watched clips. I don't have access to Drag Race at this current moment, but it's in the works. Word on the street is they did my favorite Doechii song two nights ago.
So I wouldn't know because I've only seen episode one so far because I
have
been too busy to watch episode two.
That's okay, yeah.
But I watched episode one.
But I love Drag Race. And I also, you know, in the age of Netflix, I'm generally a person who I'm free on Sundays. I have a 4-hour block. Mm-hmm. I can bang out.
Yeah, you can
two
knock
episodes.
Them out. Boom,
I can
boom,
bang
boom.
Out three. Yes. Yeah. Where, and especially like Survivor, I think I've done that like every season where, especially this last season, I didn't have access to something where I could watch it. So then I'm like, oh, it's okay. I can wait a couple of weeks and then I'll like get really into it and then I can keep up with it. A bad habit, but a habit nonetheless.
Yeah. It's the same amount of television, just watch it at a different time.
Yeah, but I want to like, but also, and this always happens to me, I never work, like go to work with people who watch the shows that I watch. Uh-huh. So I'll like be in the team meeting and I'll be like, anyone watching The Golden Bachelorette? And nobody watches The Golden Bachelorette. And I'm like, anyone watching Survivor? No one watches Survivor. I don't
that
know.
That one's
like,
crazy to me. I'm like, let's make it 2001 again. Survivor's mainstream culture. Let's all be watching it, please.
That's what I thought.
Oh my gosh.
But that's the thing is every workspace I've ever been in, no one watches the shows I watch. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Why are you all so lame? Dumb.
Boring. Boring.
I would like to, The Bachelor is coming up, which I love The Bachelor. I like The Bachelorette a lot. But I like women more than I like men, mm-hmm. and there are more women on The Bachelor, so I think it's more compelling television.
Yeah.
But I haven't gotten back into The Bachelor because I found out that my dad, and this is TW, skip over if you don't want to hear a grief thing. I found out that my dad had passed away while we were watching Women Tell All on Joey's season. And it was like, it also like my roommates, God bless them, they didn't know what to do. And they were there for me, like you know, as much as they could be. But at a certain point, I was like kind of inconsolable. So they just kind of like kept themselves and then watched the show. And I mean, it was like, I'm not like offended by that or anything. Like what could they have done? But it was also like, that was kind of going on in the background and they were all like kind of yelling at each other. And like, every time I like think about that night, I think like, yeah. I hear that. So I'm nervous to watch The Bachelor again. I'm nervous it'll bring up sad feelings. Yeah, but also, no, thank you. But I mean, heavens. That no one is going to be angry with me if I don't watch The Bachelor.
Okay, I do, before we leave reality TV behind, I do want to talk about The Traitors. I have not finished episode 3. I know who got murdered, but I don't. I like haven't watched The Challenge or anything yet. So, but spoilers for The Traitors incoming. I only know as far as Ian got axed.
Not axed.
I felt weird saying killed, but that's
the, I know.
That's
the death metaphor is really crazy in The Traitors.
That's something that like I like about the show is it's so camp that the producers are like, you literally have to continue the murder motif. Like they were murdered.
Exactly.
You can't say voted out. You can't say went home. Like they
were murdered.
It's like, yeah, exactly. So ridiculous.
Like Bob the drag queen literally crying because people were murdered. I'm like, it's so funny. I love this season already so much. They do such a good job at like making it new every season. I think Survivor could take a page out of their book.
Oh my gosh, to go off of what Holloway said. Yeah, no. New Era has been, I've enjoyed it, but it's been the same season, different fonts 7 times.
I know. And like, it's so interesting too. I like go back and watch other seasons and the people were all so different to each other that like it was,
That's what's so crazy. People talk about this all the time on like the Survivor's discussion boards. Also, I interrupted you. Finish your thought.
No, go ahead. No, I was just going to say like, I mean, you know, they're all so different. So they have like different, they all come from different walks of life. Mm-hmm. And like they all, like it's like, you know, and it's also like people who like genuinely are there because they also sometimes need the money, you know? And I think that causes more watchable drama, but also like a coming together of ideals and like they're building it. I love Survivor. I love the whole premise of like they're building a new like society. They are shipwrecked and they have to continue on. That's the drama, is like they are cast away. It doesn't like with strangers and they have to continue on. Like that's the drama, you know? And sometimes I am like, especially in the last couple of seasons where it's like last season was like, oops, all lawyers, where it's like, of course these people all think the same. They all went to the same school and like do the same job. And there's not as much drama because they all speak the same way. They do the same things. They're from the same places. They have the same job. And so like, there, and obviously I'm not like looking for drama, but I am looking for, you know, people from all walks of life coming together to create a new society and vote people off because of, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like that's the social experiment. Yes. Right now it's not social experiment.
Yeah. So people talk about this all the time on the Survivor discussion boards, which is, during the pandemic, specifically during the like post George Floyd.
Yes.
CBS came under a lot of fire, understandably, because they were like, so what's up with like every season you do of your reality shows? There's like 3 people of color and everyone else is white.
Yeah.
And so CBS released an initiative that they were like, we are going to do our best to have 50% people of color on every reality show. And I don't watch the other reality shows, but at least on Survivor, they have stuck to it. It has been 50% every single season, maybe give or take one person. I'm not sure. I haven't like counted it out. And that's been amazing, but it's done this weird shift where it's like, CBS thinks you can only have like diversity one way, where it was like, now people come from like a lot of different racial backgrounds, and that's really cool. Yeah. But they're all lawyers. And like in the
podcasters.
Yes, they're like all lawyers, or like this season, it was like they're all broadcasters of some, like whether they are on TV talking about sports, or whether they're a podcaster, or whether they're a reporter, they're all like broadcasting. Whereas in the past, it would be like on one tribe, you had like a flight attendant, a beauty pageant winner, a gravedigger, a waitress, a poker player, a lunch lady, but they were all white. It's like, why can't we have both of those things? I know that these people are applying. Why can both things not exist?
Yes. And I think that there is a shift, right? And we've talked about this before, where they love the people who can narrate the season, you know, because obviously Jeff is only, and I love the way that Survivor is set up, where they are the ones telling their own story. It's not like a voice of God coming in and being like, and then the tribe did this, and then they went to do this, and then we see what's their face going to do this. Like, you know, in some reality TV shows, they have like people who are like announcing it. Like Jeff is only in very specific spots. They're narrating their
own
story.
And he is there to like facilitate conversation, not to narrate anything. Unless it's a challenge.
And they're there. Yeah. And they're there to tell their own story again. Yeah. Like it's like they are set up in a really cool way. And obviously we don't know what it's like to like be a part of that, but they want people who can tell their story in a compelling way, because that's how, like, if they're not saying something worthwhile, they don't have anything to narrate the season with. But throughout like most every season that I've ever seen, there has been like people who are a part of it who can narrate the season. But I think especially in the last couple of seasons, it's been like we're getting more talkers and not as many doers. And obviously they have to do, like, they are doing the competitions, they are voting each other out, that's all happening. But like, you know, you have people like Tony who like literally make spy shacks to like hide, to like, you know, I don't know, like they're like taking initiative and like doing shit, and they are hiring more talkers who are like good at narrating their own thing, which is awesome. And I do love a narration, but
I've mentioned this before. I do think 46 hit a sweet spot. I feel like 46 was a diverse group of people in all ways. Cause that's just what's fun is, like you were saying, watching different personalities bounce off each other and have to live together is exciting.
It is.
But yes, Holloway, to talk more about your point, the thing with Survivor is what's exciting about the show is like change. Like, I remember when 41 happened and they were going to have three tribes, people were jazzed out of their minds because we hadn't had a season that started with three tribes. No, not that part of me. When 41 started, and they didn't do a tribe swap, pardon me, that they stayed in their original tribes the entire time. People were psyched out of their minds because that hadn't happened in like 17 seasons. And then they did that four seasons in a row. And people were like, can we please get a tribe swap? It's just what I wish production understood is there's no like one perfect formula. Like the bones of the show are perfect, but the specifics, there's no one perfect specific. What is perfect is keeping the cast and audience on their toes by having just like slight differences. Like this season, we have three tribes to begin with. Next season, we have two. This season, no tribe swap. Next season, there is a tribe swap. Like just minor stuff like that to just keep it fresh.
And I think exactly like combinations of all of those as a viewer, those all work. They know they all work. To like change them up, to like pick things out of a hat and create a new season, I think is just exciting. And I mean, we've talked about this before too, like, and I saw an article where Jeff had said like, the fire making is here to stay. Like you cannot get rid of fire making. And I think that fire making, while exciting to watch, and I'm sure like as like the people who are doing it, it is like crazy exciting and like, you know, triumphant, and like seeing someone make fire is like exciting. But I remember on earlier seasons from the old era, like when it came down to fire, it was like, this is no seriously life or death. Like we are at a stalemate.
Yeah. When it gets to like a final like four on. And it's 2-2. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. Where it's like, there's no way that this is like, we can't, like we are at a tie. And like, that's why I love drawing rocks so much. That's why I love, so I like fire as a concept, but I think like final three has never worked.
Mm-hmm, I agree.
Anytime I've ever seen it has ever worked because A, everyone's focusing on two people. One person is literally left alone. And then I think what every single time it has been like a vote of like 1-7.
There's been a few like D only beat Austin by one vote. Kenzie only beat Charlie by one vote. There's a few that have been close, but usually, I mean, in Survivor, just like historically, it's pretty common for there to be a blowout winner, even with final twos.
And I mean, and that doesn't bother me that there's a blowout winner. I do think though that if that's the case, there are two people who are at the top. A final three. And I remember, God, like the Black Widow Brigade when finally they thought it was going to be a final three and then it ended up being a final two and how devastating that was. Yeah. Like that was crazy. Yeah. But it was good ass television. I think about it at night and I'm still upset about it. But I mean, it was still like something new and something interesting and I'm still thinking about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No.
So I think like keeping people on their toes where it's like, we don't know if it's going to be a final three or a final two.
The most compelling case I've heard for final two is simply just because that's the way it works numerically. Like the conceit of the game is you start with 16 to 20 people
to
depending
be the
on
sole
the season
survivor.
And you knock one person off every week until there's no one left to knock off. And so for it to go down to two people just makes more sense thematically than for it to go down to three. Oh, well.
Oh, well.
Should we talk about the traitors?
I'd love to watch.
We got on another Survivor tangent.
I know, sorry. It's just a perfect TV show. I can't help it.
I do genuinely think Survivor is the perfect reality competition show. I think the way it is structured is the perfect competition.
No, it's amazing.
Continue.
The traitors. God, I love the traitors. I do think that the traitors for me is... God, it's Clash of the Titans. It is such fun. Like seeing like previews of who's going to be on the show. Like, oh my God. I love people from different reality TV shows too. Like coming in and that dynamic is so fun because we have like housewives who, you know, and everyone like gets like categorized into like gamers and housewives. And while I think that obviously it just makes for good ass TV, you know, it makes me sad because sometimes the gamers are like, oh, fuck the housewives. I'm like, you know, we need to get rid of them. We need to kill all the housewives. And I'm like, you guys don't know. I'm a watcher and I want to watch them. I want to watch
them.
But
see, I think that's interesting because it's the inverse of last season where Phaedra was like, so no housewives will be dying. And it got to like final nine and every housewife was still in the game. And then this season, they're like, housewives are the first to go.
I know. Oh, God. And you know, that the thing about the traitors, too, that makes me so excited and also so frustrated is I get so into it. Like when in this first episode of the traitors, which I encourage you all to watch, it is so fun. Bob mentions that it's only been women who are being like the ones forced to volunteer to like sit out of the competition. And in like in. You know, any case, like they can't be offered immunity. They cannot be offered the shield that's going to like protect them from that night's murder. And this, you know, God, it makes me so mad. It seriously, like I was sitting, I had to like take a lap because it like, I was like, God, like these men, like they are just such assholes. Like they can't even like take one for the team at all. And then they don't even finish the competition. Anything about last season, Pilot Pete, like running that fucking house, I was like, I'm actually going to like strangle this guy. Like he drove me so crazy. And I was like, I'm taking this TV show so fucking seriously. It's ruining my day. I love it.
I love the traders. And the traders is very exciting because it's like getting in on a well done reality competition show on the ground floor. I sincerely,
yes,
watching last season was like, this is how people felt watching the first few seasons of Survivor. And like you said, every season feels different because I feel like they have the bones of a show that really works, but they're still figuring out the specifics of like, okay, so what could be better and what, you know, do we continue onward with? Like, I think the added element this season of when they get to Final Fire, that no one's allowed to say if they're a traitor or not.
Yeah.
Is much more compelling and will make the finale one less predictable and more fun to watch. It's just like really exciting to see them start to like put the pieces together of what the show needs to be.
Yep.
The traitors they picked are like literally my ideal. Like they read my mind and knew exactly who I wanted it to be.
I know, seriously.
I'm so thrilled. I was a little peeved when Boston Rob got added. And I love Boston Rob.
Yeah,
and I got nothing against him. I'm a big Boston Rob fan. But I was like, another season of reality television where like this, he's the man in charge. Like I've seen it.
I know.
I've seen it four times on Survivor. It's happened on The Amazing Race. It's happened on Deal or No Deal Island. Like it does not need to happen again. However.
Oh, I do want to watch Deal or No Deal Island. That's on my list.
However, after seeing Bob, Carolyn, and Danielle interact, and how much they like clash personality wise and cannot agree.
I know.
I actually retroactively am like, so maybe I do want Boston Robin here.
He's keeping a cool head.
Because it's so fun, A, to see him just like be so pissed off at them not being able to like communicate. And then also, I know that when something needs to be done, he's going to be like, okay, so everyone shut up and we're going to take turns and talk and not like fight with each other.
Yeah. No, I do. I think that a dynamic this season is good. Yeah. And I do think Boston Rob is, I think, a good personality to add in this crew. Because they are, and especially, I love Carolyn so much. Like, she is not afraid to speak her mind, and she is not afraid to call out when people are underestimating her, and you know, she's not afraid to say like, I don't think this is a good idea, which I think is such a good thing about her and such a compelling person to add in there. And especially with, you know, Danielle and Bob, who are also very similar, where they also in their minds they know what's right and they like are not afraid to say it. I think it's like, they also are all so good about, I think they're all coming at it from like different angles and they're all like thinking, they're playing chess. And I am so excited to see how this is gonna play out. Cause I also love infighting. That's like my favorite thing about anything.
I loved.
Like any Marvel movie where there's infighting, I'm obsessed.
Civil War, hey.
Exactly.
My ideal outcome of this season is Carolyn wins.
Yeah.
I feel like, although I love Jam Jam as a winner and have no qualms with him winning, I feel like it would be a beautiful end to her arc on Survivor, where it's like she was underestimated that whole season. No one took her seriously. She got zero votes. And then she goes on the Traitors and no one takes her seriously again. But that actually works in her favor because no one realizes how smart she is. And then she wins the whole thing.
Yeah.
I would love it.
Ugh. Too. That'd be awesome. Honestly, I love a traitor win.
I do too.
I do feel like, especially the way that the story is told, like we are in on the traitors.
We are
like,
traitors.
We are exactly. We are in it.
That's like, why everyone who goes on the show is like on their knees. Literally, Tony was on his knees begging. Alan, like, please make me a traitor. Please.
Well, I think that is, if you're coming out being on a reality TV for screen time, which I think some people are, but also I think also these gamers like want to play the game.
Yeah. Cause that's the thing. As they say, faithfuls are sitting ducks. You don't have any agency in the game.
Yeah.
As I have mentioned before, I think Sandra Diaz-Twine started to figure out what a gamer's,
I want her to come back.
For real. She started to figure out what a faithful strategy can be. But it's still the game. That's like one of the tweaks they need to continue figuring out is how do we make this so the faithfuls aren't just like absolute sitting duck pawns in this game. All right. Should that be the end of reality TV talk? We talked for about an hour about reality TV.
Heaven knows we could talk about it forever. I love reality TV.
It's good. There's a lot to discuss.
It's funny too. When I read this email initially, I was like, I don't really watch TV.
No, literally.
And then we talked for an hour about it. You were like, shut
up. We should talk about this. And you were like, well, yeah, but I feel like I don't really watch TV. I don't know what I have to say.
And you went, girl, shut up.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
I love reality TV.
Well, that's Reality TV Corner. And now...
Thanks for the question, Holloway.
Thank you. And now we got another email from Han. Hi, Lena and Ian. Han here. They, them, from England.
International listener!
I'm currently in the middle of listening to your latest episode, specifically the part about whether Valjean is a diva. I will say... I agree that Javert is perhaps the most diva. Even when he learns he's wrong, he can't accept it and sings a song about how he can't accept it before literally killing himself over it. Shout out Javert's suicide. I mostly agree that Valjean isn't that much of a diva. He's definitely low in the diva leaderboards when it comes to Les Mis.
The diva leaderboards.
But I
and
do right, think...
I'm glad you have that written down. That's funny as hell.
But I do think specifically Monsieur Le Maire, Valjean, is a bit of a diva, which brings me to my main point. The confrontation is literally a diva off between Valjean and Javjean.
Javert?
No, that's what I was going to say was Valjean and Javjean.
Valjean.
That's their celebrity couple name.
Perfect.
Between Valjean and Javert. And like, I guess I can understand why they didn't choose that song for Kurt versus Rachel. It's a very man versus man song and not exactly one of the numbers people know from Les Mis, but still, bring him home. I'm sorry, but that song is a snooze fest, most boring song in the musical, IMO. Apologies to all my bring him homies. Anyway, just had to get that off my chest. I was a very big Les Mis and specifically Valjean and Javert fan around the time the movie came out. So I had to get my 2 cents. Loving the episode and Andrew's your guest. You guys are all such fun together. Thanks for always giving so much to the podcast. It's really appreciated, and I've loved listening to the Glee Wine so far. Oh, also you guys inspired me to do a 2024 Wrapped with my friends because it's such a cute idea, and I love hearing what other people have been into. Thanks so much, Han. It's emails like this that make me just like so pleased with the work we do on this podcast.
Oh, 100%.
To get an email that is like, okay, so Valjean is low on the Les Mis diva leaderboard, but he still is a diva. And going into the specifics of like why he still should qualify as a diva and why we were wrong to rip him of that mantle. These are the important conversations we need to be having. No,
and thank God.
And thank God
someone said this to us.
Oh my gosh.
The diva leaderboard.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Like at the Diva Olympics.
So I'm thinking the Diva leaderboard. At the Diva Olympics, last night, I was watching Rachel sing All Coming Back to Me Now. Tune in next week when we talk about it. And I was like, she is competing in the Diva Olympics. And then I thought, why don't I stop saying that?
I know.
I should bring that back. That's funny.
I had the urge to text that to you the other day. And I thought, I was like, maybe not. And I didn't do it.
I think the Diva Olympics, I think gold medal is going to Javert. I think silver is Madame Trenardier. Am I wrong for that?
Oh, I don't think you're wrong for that.
Who's getting bronze? Because I don't think Valjean is placing.
No.
I see what Han is saying.
I think he's placing. He's competing.
Yeah, like he qualified, but like he's not top three. He's not placing.
No.
So who's third?
Who's third?
Maybe like Little Eponine when she comes in the dress and like twirls.
I do think.
Yeah, honestly,
she's just
wait.
There to like be a little bitch.
That's her whole track. That girl is that just is queen bitch. A strong, compelling case could be made for Gavroche.
Oh, how do you do? My name's Gavroche. And that's a good narrator.
And he's got on literally everyone. And he's like, "Oh, I'm little. Fuck you. Let me show you what little people do." That's diva.
Yeah, totally. A strong case. I also think, now forgive me. It's been a while since I've been in my Les Mis phase, but I went through my Les Mis phase crazy. Like we all did. Mm-hmm. who is the Aaron Tveit of the crew?
Oh, Angel Ross. Wait.
Angel Ross. I think Angel Ross is a diva. His little jacket.
B, he's got a big old flag and he waves it. Yes. The most famous image, the most iconic image of the musical.
Stacking the furniture, his idea.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Passes away upside down on the furniture. Diva!
Usually with the flag kind of like draped on him.
Yes.
Oh, one more day always, before the it's storm. It's really cunty. Okay. Gavroche found dead. It's Entourage.
I think Entourage.
And
is
he above is
bronze.
Madame Thénardier? He might be.
You think silver? I like it.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. Okay. Let's talk about Madame Thénardier for a second. Mm-hmm. So she is a diva.
Yeah.
100%.
And I think more so
what
than
is
her
she
husband.
Doing that is diva-y?
She is going.
I'm not even thinking about
she's
him.
She's going to this poor little girl who's done nothing. And she's like,
oh, yeah.
You bitch, go out in the cold and get water. Or I'm going to forget to be nice. You think this is mean? You got another think coming, girl.
You haven't
girl.
Met mean.
Seriously. Like, okay, cool. You got
to
be
yeah,
kidding
being the children
me.
Is pretty diva-y.
Yeah, pretty
I like
diva.
It.
Diva. And then for her husband to be doing this whole song and dance, entertaining the entire hotel, singing a song. And meanwhile, she's like, by the way, his dick is literally small. Like, that's like her whole verse.
That guy I'm married
is like,
to?
He sucks. A, he's a loser. B, not much there. Like, obsessed. That's diva. That's diva.
Okay.
Everyone's having a like good it. Time. And she's like, I'm going to piss on this party. I hate all of you.
I like that. But I do think, she's bronze. And I also think that little Eponine can't be diva unless mom's diva, mom's stage mom. You know
Walk
what I mean?
Me through this.
Well, I mean,
as
just
in,
like,
I don't understand what you said. Those words didn't mean anything to me.
I am just adding more of like Madame Thénardier being a diva is like she's the one purchasing fancy clothes.
Yeah, the
for her
reason
daughter,
that her daughter is Miss Bitch is because she's her mom.
Exactly. She's stage mom.
Yeah. And then when Eponine grows enough to like, have her frontal lobe start to develop, she's nicer. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I love when that happens.
I gotcha.
Eponine, not a diva.
Adult Eponine, diva. Literally to be yearning over a man who like does not think twice about you is like the least diva thing you could possibly do.
And Marius, not a diva.
Marius, not a diva. Cosette, I love you forever. I don't think is really a diva either.
Not a diva. Not a diva.
Fantine, a little bit of a diva. Fantine, a little bit of a diva.
Oh, Fantine is a diva. Yeah. Fantine, you know, sacrificing herself for her family in
behavior.
The, you know, like cutting her hair off, her teeth, mm-hmm. like doing anything for her daughter. Huge diva. I also think like a hard worker.
Mm-hmm. Diva.
Big diva. I love you. Yeah, mm-hmm. divas are hard workers.
Mm-hmm. Her coming back to Jean Valjean at the end and saying like, hey, so I'm going to introduce you to God, diva.
Yeah.
She said you heard of St. Peter, get ready for St. Fantine, bitch. Here I am.
Yeah, she's like, I'm an angel.
I actually got promoted. So
I know you
brag,
met me twice.
Not to brag, but a diva is a female version of St. Peter. Uh-huh. It's me.
Oh my God. God, I was so into the 10th anniversary concert mm-hmm. of Les Mis. I used to sit at my family, one with Nick Jonas, yes.
We used to always joke that during Red and Black, he would get overcome and go, red dress! Because they do like, red, the color of, yeah.
Yeah, I know them. I was so obsessed, and I remember I had a group of friends who were like, that one sucks, you have to watch the 5th anniversary, and I was like, it's the one I loved first, I can't mm-hmm. help it.
It's got Nick Jonas.
It's got Nick Jonas. Booyah. God, that one was so good.
And Booyah.
Booyah. The Confrontation, Diva Off. I performed that song once. One of my first SU Lives I performed.
Remember I remember that. Oh yeah. My gosh, a throwback.
Yeah.
Was that miscast? What did you do that for?
I think it was miscast, but we did, I hate you, J.K. Rowling, but we did it as Harry Draco.
Yes, yeah. I remember this. That was the candy store SU Live that happened.
Yes, yeah. Was it?
It was, because that was miscast your freshman year.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. See, and you all know Candy Store, but you and, don't, but know, you the don't know the confrontation as Harry Potter character. Because we didn't film it.
Hey! Wow.
Oh my God, throwback.
Han, I love this email. I do love Bring Him Home. So watch what you're saying with that mouth.
Bring Him Homies.
I'm a Bring Him Homie. I love that,
that
song.
That made me laugh.
I love that song.
Wow. The Diva Leaderboard.
The Diva Leaderboard, the Diva Olympics of Les Miserables.
I love it.
Incredible.
Look down. Look down.
Bah, 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 bah. That's They've All Forgotten You, Divas. That one man who's like, she'll wait for me, oh, I swear, yeah, she will be true. Not a diva. All the men, yeah, that same response, look down, they've all forgotten you. Capital D, IVAS. Yeah.
And that's a
read. What is that? Divas Live? Seriously, in the library was open for that. Holy cow. That is so mean. This poor man.
It's really
having
mean,
to pull a man ship into the ocean.
I know.
And he's like, maybe, ugh, my wife still loves me. And they're like, literally, she doesn't know your name.
She's all, they've all forgotten you.
Rude.
Ay, rude.
The bishop. Diva or not a diva?
The bishop. Mm.
See, and this is where...
A part of me thinks not diva, but like with like diva tendencies. Like giving the candlesticks was big diva. But I also think like...
Lying to the police?
Not diva.
No, wait, diva. Super diva. Excuse you.
Huge diva.
Yeah.
I know. I thought better of it. I thought we were saying things that made him not a diva.
See, this is where like... This is where there's like so many, you know, divas like such an umbrella term, because on the one side, like being a huge asshole and being, yeah, like proudly wrong is diva tendencies. But then, yeah, on the other side, like, I feel like, you know, really standing up for yourself and like fighting for what you believe, yeah, in is also diva tendencies.
Yes, I agree.
So that's why I'm like, Javert and the bishop could both be divas potentially. Eponine is not, because being obsessed with someone who doesn't care about you is definitively not diva behavior.
Yeah.
But I think the bishop could. He's not placing.
I think the bishop think could too. Qualify. But I also think like something that makes you a diva might not make me a diva, mm-hmm, and something that makes me a diva might not make you, mm-hmm, a diva. So I also think, you know, my stomach is growling like crazy. I'm so sorry. Please edit around
I
that.
Haven't heard it once, so I think we might be fine.
It's rocking, oy, me. Anyway, a diva is a female version of a hustler, but you know, obviously, interesting. Weigh in, everyone. Where do you think? Yeah. Where do you lie on the?
Give
diva
us the entire the cast listing of Les Mis, yeah, and tell us where they all fall on the diva leaderboards.
From super diva to not diva. Mm-hmm. Another diva
to be
is
a super
the ladies
diva
in
is
the...
to see the face of God.
And don't I know it? The ladies in the factory who slut shame.
Yes,
Fontaine.
Divas. Derogatory, divas. But divas.
Divas derogatory, mm-hmm, yeah.
The lyric,
lovely
at
ladies,
the end of the day, you're another day
divas
older. Diva.
They ate that.
The first time I heard that lyric, I was like, "What? That's the bell jar."
Oh, yeah.
Just being like, and at the end of the day, another day happened. Like, damn, that bell jar has descended on the citizens of France. That's tragic.
That's tragic. You know, I love Les Mis so much. In every Bible I've ever owned, I always write to love another person, oh, was to see the face, yeah, of God.
That lyric rocks. That shows very
it
good.
Does. And honestly, like, I don't know how much I believe in God now, but I still believe that. No. I still believe,
yeah,
that.
No, I genuinely, that's a very good show. Beautiful story. Victor Hugo, yeah, you really ate that up. Good for you, boy.
You really did.
A diva, Victor Hugo.
Huge. Did you read that in school?
You read Les Mis? It's like 1,400 pages.
We read like an abridged version, okay, like for school. Okay. But I was also like in the trenches of my Les Mis obsession. So I was like, I was leading the discussion every class. I was but what about this?
My dad, famous reader, was reading Les Mis, mm-hmm, and even he was like, it's dragging. She's like, he could have picked up the pace a little bit.
We definitely read an abridged version, but we did read it. You know, I was very into, Utah is so into, and I'm forgetting his name on purpose, but what is it? The man who wrote, like, Jekyll and Hyde, the Jekyll and Hyde musical.
Oh my gosh, it's because he has a deal with BYU.
Yeah.
I and keep also wanting, like, to say Laurence Olivier, which is
oh my god,
a very famous legendary British actor. I swear, like, I want to say Laurence something. He did Bonnie and Clyde.
Is it Frank?
Frank Wildhorn. Laurence nowhere Frank to be Wildhorn. Found. It is Frank Wildhorn, you're right.
No. I hate Frank Wildhorn. Let me tell you here and now. All the ladies that he writes, though, big divas.
Yes, he doesn't know how to not write a diva.
No, he,
well,
he
actually, can't help but genuinely.
If writing divas is a crime, take him to jail.
Seriously, life sentence. This episode is so insane. Is this our gayest episode we've ever done?
I hope so.
My issue with Frank Wildhorn is genuinely, my criticism is he can't not write a diva. And so every song and, like, in Oops, every show, is, literally, the track.
Like, at this point, they're not divas.
And when everyone's a diva, no one will be. For
no
real.
One's a diva.
The track listing of every Frank Wildhorn musical is Oops, All Divas. Every song.
Oops, All Ballads as well.
Every song by itself, you're like, oh, wait, this song rocks. You hear them in succession, yeah, and you're like, so I listened to the same song 17 times.
Seven times. When a diva comes into an audition room and, like, you know,
someone rips her like you.
Seriously, rips her face off. Like me. Your face is melted, and you're like, oh my god, that was a diva. Mm-hmm. But seeing that after a million different,
after,
like,
someone just sang Mad Hatter from Wonderland.
Oh my god, I know. And that's the thing, is Utah is obsessed with Frank Wildhorn. It's actually fucking insane. I also just think obviously I don't know him, but I don't think he's a good person.
Why?
I'm saying that here and now on this podcast.
Why?
Well, A, he, like, came and did, like, a thing where he taught, like, a bunch of students, and he was, like, a major asshole. And I also, he always dates his divas. Oh. He always dates his divas.
Hey.
And I mean, obviously I don't know the guy, so I don't freaking know. Like, I'm sorry if, like, Frank Wildhorn's kids are listening in, or Frank Wildhorn himself.
He's a patron.
Anyway, his shows are flawed, but I was very obsessed with Scarlet Pimpernel in high school.
But you couldn't help but you were a Mormon teen in Utah.
Oh, sorry.
I'm not
Hello,
kidding.
Hello, take me to jail.
I've never heard of that show before college. I go to college in Utah. Everyone is like, so the best show ever written is The Scarlet Pimpernel by Frank Wildhorn.
You can bet your sorry fucking ass that at least one a year will be happening in, like, the greater Salt Lake area. If not at one, then the other. They're like, they pass her
and
around.
And I think I saw a production, and I literally, I won't say where, walked out. I went with some friends,
well, I mean,
and at intermission, we all looked at each other and we said, so do we want to sit through another hour and a half of this? And we left.
There was another, I mean, I've also seen his new show, like, randomly two times, and I walked out the second time because I'm like, it's not good.
Hey, Frank.
But Mormons, they are the people. They are the people who love it. And I was obsessed with Scarlet Pimpernel, so I did read that book, and I think it's around here somewhere.
I used to really like that movie. It's got, like, Guy Pearce in it, I think.
Oh, I don't think I've ever seen that movie.
As a kid, I also might be conflating literally two different things. Because I feel like I get the Scarlet Pimpernel, and I'm thinking of The Count of Monte Cristo.
Oh.
So never mind.
That's the other one. That's the other Frank Wildhorn show.
Is that Frank Wildhorn?
Yeah, we saw it, remember? And we walked out.
Is that what I'm thinking of?
Yeah. Yes.
I haven't seen Scarlet Pimpernel, everyone. I saw Count of Monte Cristo and I walked out. Okay.
Honestly, sorry to be...
Don't say,
you know,
where we saw it.
A person from Utah. No, I won't. Okay. I won't. I mean, but I've seen it at a couple places. But I mean, obviously, I haven't seen Scarlet Pimpernel as an adult. I do think you're good for that show.
And hey, and I would, and that's
I think
the
you're
thing.
Really good
if
for that
Frank
show.
If Frank wants to put me in a show, I will do it. I absolutely will do
and it. And that's also the thing is, I also, there are moments, I don't love Jekyll and Hyde as a show, but the songs in that, like especially the woman, the two women in that show, Jesus, they're divas.
My computer is going to die. So we do need to wrap this up. We do need to wrap this up. But thanks for being here, everyone. You're all divas for listening. You're all placing in the Diva Olympics. Congratulations. Really exciting.
Yes, congrats. Here is your medal.
The little giggle. Go check out the Traders if you have Peacock. Go see if you can track down Bridalplasty, or I guess Couple of Threpple isn't lost to time. It's just canceled. So, hey.
God, I hope not. I wouldn't be surprised, though, if they take that off because they hate paying people residuals.
Yeah, that's so true.
Do people get residuals for reality TV?
I don't know. But this whole era of, like, just erasing things from history off of streaming is really concerning to me.
Oh, we are in a bad timeline.
This is the Library of Alexandria of our time.
I agree.
And TikTok's going away. It's over. I actually thought of a TikTok the other day and was like, that's about to be potentially gone forever. Crazy.
Yeah.
Anyways, tune in next week as we talk about the Nationals episodes. We're talking about New York. We're talking about, I wanted to say Chicago. New York, Chicago, LA. New York, Nationals, and City of Angels. Yeah. Pretty exciting stuff.
Speaking of the City of Angels, sending everyone
in
Southern California love. Oh my God. So awful. We should... Send us like a message. Let us know if you're there, that you're safe and everything is cool. Like, that's seriously so.
Yeah, it's terrifying.
Awful, terrifying. And I'm so deeply sorry that this is the world that we live in. It's seriously so fucking terrifying. And sending you love and I hope everyone is safe and that, you know, that insurance has stopped being so fucked and we can rebuild, like, because that is just so fucking awful.
Yeah.
Love you all.
Love you. Thanks for being here. We'll see you next week.
Yeah, we'll see you soon. Yeah. For Nationals.
For Nationals.
Hope we win.
Fingers crossed. I think we have
I
think we have about a 33% chance of winning.
Yeah, hope so.
1 in 3, pretty good odds.
Love you guys. Here is a hangout kiss on your hangout forehead. Hoping you're all happy and safe and you're loved and just okay. Here you go. Bye.
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 Thank you for listening to Recovering Gleek. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok at recoveringgleek_podcast. If you liked our podcast, be sure to leave a review and tell your friends, please.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.